Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, vast and for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Well, lost me again, lost me again. Das Jesu, mich ist sein. Meine Seele ist voll verlangen, immer will ich zu empfangen und vor seinem Thron zu stehen, und vor seinem Thron zu stehen. Jesus lead, Jesus lead, Sonne, die doch Wolken bringt. O, wann werd ich dahin kommen, dass ich dort mit allen Frommen schau dein holdes Angesicht, schau dein holdes Angesicht. Ach, wie schön, ach, wie schön ist der Engel aufgetan. Hätt ich Flügel, flieg ich immer stark hier. Heute noch nach Zion hin, heute noch nach Zion hin. Wie wird's sein, wenn wir gehen, Salomon, in der Stadt der goldenen Gassen. Herr, mein Gott, ich kann's nicht fassen, was das wird für von mir sein, was das wird für von mir sein. Paradies, Paradies, wie ist deine Frucht so süß, unter deinen Lebensbäumen wird uns sein, als ob wir träumen. Bring uns her ins Paradies, bring uns her ins Paradies. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is its face. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is its face. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is its taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well.
Well, I guess we'll continue from yesterday, from all those that believed. All you have to do is believe. It's so simple. If you and your whole household will believe, you will be saved. But we're living in an age, you know, where everything is so confused and so watered down. But you got to go back to the scripture to find reality, you know. And I know the things we're saying here, you wouldn't hear being said nowhere else, because it's so far off the normal path that people actually think we're crazy. But we only got what we got here from the scriptures. We went back in the scriptures you have to go back to find the real blueprint.
Right.
Everything is so distorted.
Like, there's no faith left. Like, when you talk to people, you can really see they have no faith. And you can see that this Laodicea educated world has taken a faith away. Like, everything is so programmed that faith is not in the equation.
Yeah. They got insurance for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It just completely wipes out true Christianity.
It's all programmed. You can't get house insurance. You can't get a mortgage if you don't have house insurance. It's all in a package of taking God away.
That's it.
Like, there's many times that the insurance companies and life insurance company, they phone with their package of insurance, and I tell them, you know, I have the best insurance there is. Oh, they want to know what that insurance is, and they'll ask me, and I say, God. And then the conversation is over.
Yeah.
I don't even have to hang up the phone on them. They just stop right there and say, okay, and I'm done with them.
Yeah, we have to go back to the scripture. Mm-hmm. Like, you go back to the birth of Christ, you know. When you really look at it and analyze it, there's this young couple come into town one evening, but way back then, and they looked at him, and yeah, they were poor, so they went to the inn, like to the motel in today's language, and usually in today's world, they have a price set, you know, the $35 a night, if you go down to the cheaper ones, but back then, it was not so. They seen travelers coming in, and if a guy had a camel, then they would just charge him more, you know, because he's wealthy. And then, but here, this young couple comes in with a donkey, and then a pregnant wife, and they went up and asked if they got any room. Well, they looked at him, and we got room, but not for you. You can't pay too much, so we can't charge you too much. But at the end of the day, they ended up in a manger, you know, that young couple. And then you know the story. But today they got this thing, Hollywood painting of it all, you know, like it was really glorious. But you got to go back into reality and face what it was really like. Like I say, a young couple come into town, and the guy at the desk looked at him, because, like I say, they charge whatever they figured they should, they can afford. And so anyway, they ended up in a manger, and it wasn't the barn, it was kind of a open manger.
Mm-hmm.
One side was completely open, and then inside was just hay, and to keep the hay from getting wet from the rain. And you go back and you look at reality, you know, but the thing of it is, then at night, they came down, all the angels in heaven came down and talked to the shepherd and told him there's a little baby boy born, and you'll find him in swaddling clothes. You got to really go back and get your mind out of this Hollywood manger story, you know, and go into reality of something new, something that never happened. And here these angels come, and the shepherds say, go in and go check, see if these things be so. And they found them exactly so. And then what happened later on, these three wise men come into town, into Jerusalem, and they ask where the king is, where we want to pay homage to the king. And all these things were to draw attention to this baby that was born, that the savior of the human race, the restoration of all things. If somebody would be watching it, looking, they should have seen, hey, something is about to fix it to happen. Like when we're here, we saw that Yom Kippur is about fixing to happen. You know, we did do the research and everything, and we had it all figured out. Mm-hmm. That there's got to be this Yom Kippur here. Or when the Lord gave you the revelation of that Malachi 4 prophet, what you did, you took it to heart, and you had your radar on about this prophet. You knew he's coming in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you did everything that you could to give attention to this prophet. And then when you were given the book about the seven churches, hey, this is that. This is him. It's that prophet. And then you saw baptism in Jesus' name. I want to get baptized like that. See, there's something inside of a human being, if he's sensitive enough, that he'll trigger and something will start working in his makeup. You're looking for that. And the same thing should have happened back then. Everybody should have been looking for that. That baby in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. because it was prophesied of him.
Mm-hmm. Because that was the fullness of the time. And that was what the whole universe, the atmosphere was charged up with.
The thing they did, it was in the scripture. When so many years after the Babylonian building the walls,
it was all laid out for 70 years, and you can really see, like when Anna and Simeon in the temple, they were prepared, and there's because God had promised them that they're not gonna pass on until they see the Redeemer. And but see, they were in tune with the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it back then, if you were in tune with the time and the coming of Messiah, you were the one that would receive Him. And there's a lot of people that were in tune, gradually speaking, because that's what the time had to offer them.
Yeah, they were all, the countryside was all charged
mm-hmm.
up. The Messiah is here. The Messiah must come. Because you can see it as you go further down. Is this not him?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who it's written about. And like I say, the three wise men. And then when he was 12 years old, he draw attention to the priests and all these people when he came as a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And they marvel at the questions he asked and everything. And see, that kind of triggers an interest in him. If anybody is still a little bit alive, spiritually speaking, if he's not completely taken over by the spirit of the age,
yes.
then you got your senses to him. That's why I say, keep saying, the things that we say, they are so foreign to a lot of people because they've been sucked into and taken down this garden path to that nothing is real anymore. You know, everything
mm-hmm.
is just orchestrated by Hollywood, by movies, and by the spirit of the age. That when we say these things here, nobody heard about such a thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
you won't find it nowhere. And what I'm trying to say here is trying to get your attention off of the spirit of the age and drag you back into the reality of things
mm-hmm.
as it was
back in the days of Jesus, because we have to take scripture to find out what it was really like. Like if you were identified back then, like it never comes out, but if you were identified with the true Jesus back at that hour, you were automatically put out of the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want nobody to have anything to do with this Jesus guy. And you can read it. If you look at it with a fine true trump, like this one guy got, the Lord healed his eyes, and then the Pharisees and these guys, they were harassing him. And then they called on his parents, and just to, you know, to harass him and put him out of the synagogues if you're identified with this Jesus guy. They were even afraid to say who it was that healed him, you know?
Yeah, because back then they didn't have the communication technology that we have today. It was word of mouth. And especially when John the Baptist came on the scene and was baptizing in the repentance of baptism in repentance. And he was down by the river of Jordan in the wilderness preaching away. And that should have opened up a lot of people's eyes. And it did. And they went down to the river to see what this was all about. Even the religious sect went down there to snoop it out.
Yeah, spy him out.
Uh-huh, because he said, who had warned you from the wrath to come? So that was, they were aware there's something going on. But the thing of it is, a lot of people shut that off. And they do not want to have something like change with the times that are coming. See, we know the times we're living in, and therefore the times and the trend of things are changing, because we are this 6,000 years is over, is coming to a close after the 70th week of Daniel. It is over, and we're going into a new era. It is not an era that we've ever been before. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened there when Jesus came on the scene. That'd been an era that was totally foreign to them, even though God was wanting to prepare their hearts and their minds when he commanded them to have those seven feasts. Because it was all pointing to that day when Jesus would come. And if they would have, had their hearts prepared and their minds, then they would have recognized the day and hour they're living in and the day of their visitation, because it was really for the Jewish people that Jesus came. The hour of their visitation was there.
That's why he wept, because they didn't recognize the hour they're living in. And it's the same thing today as it was, so shall it be. And we're trying to just kind of draw a modern picture, a biblical modern picture of what you and I see. That's why you and I are so rejected. And that's why there is a price to pay to be identified with the truth for your day. It's not to be identified with us. It's to be identified with the truth for your day, just as it was back in the days of Jesus. If you go back there in your mind and you walk through that whole thing, and here's this, like I said yesterday, here's this guy, and he's conceived out of wedlock. That's all they know, just to find gossip on him. Oh, that can't be him. And trying to prove him not to be that one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a tough road to it, and if you're identified with it, you get a double whammy. You're put out of the synagogue. You're looked down as trash, and that's all how they looked at Jesus back in the day. And it's the same thing today. That's the way they look at you and I. And we're coming out, which is like to them, it's a strange teaching, but it's true, especially when we talk to the outright. When we tell them that system is not of God, it's of the devil, it's controlled by Satan, it's Roman Catholicism on steroids and things like that, they think we're crazy. They think we're blasting, because they've been brought up from small on into that society. And you bring in something new, something that's real, they think you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't blame, because they're not spiritually minded. They have not sought these things. See, you and I, all our life, we have sought for that. For that spiritual thing, and by the grace of God, it's just the way the Lord prepared us. I remember when He saved me, He said,
He let me know I can't no longer be worried for the, for what you have allowed me to do through you. And they, these things, they stuck with me. It's no use for me to go out there and do some, build a hospital or things of charity or income, that, because at the end of the day, it ain't going to amount to nothing. So the Lord dealt with it, you and I, when we were young, to prepare us for what we're doing today. And that we were able to take the pressure, you know, tremendous pressure if you just look at it.
It really is, because
we're that scapegoat, so to speak.
Because even that pressure that's on us, people don't want to be identified with us.
Yeah.
Because if they do, they have to pay a price. Just like back in the days of Jesus, Nicodemus came by night. He came when nobody was looking and nobody was seeing that Nicodemus went to Jesus.
He didn't want to be found out.
That's right. He didn't want to be found out because he knew what they were saying about Jesus. And you did not want to be associated with Jesus back in the day and hour, because with it comes a price. Like, there's a lot of people that after the heat is off, they want to cash in.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's no reward in that. The blessing comes when you can be identified when the heat is on and, you know, make a cut, even stand up for truth. You know, there's people that they see wrong, but they go along with it to a certain point, and then when there's no more price to pay, they come out and cash in on something.
Like that woman that was the press secretary. Yeah, and then she knew Biden was corrupt all along, but she went along with it because she got paid to support Biden. Knew how corrupt. Now the heat is off, and what does she do? Now she left the Biden party, and then she wants to go up and go against Biden and tell him all the stuff that she should have told back then when there was a price to pay.
Everybody knew it back then, but back then, When Biden was in the White House,
you're going to get harassed if you let it.
That's right,
you know.
Especially from the liberal media. She would have gotten attacked to no ends. But you know, now when everybody knows that the corruption and everything, now she wants to come out and write a book and leave the Democrat Party and go to the and be an independent. See, there's no more price to pay.
Yeah.
It's because every day there's more evidence coming out who Biden is and his auto pen and all that he's done and the corruption. But now everybody knows. Mm-hmm. That's why.
But there's no price to pay.
That's right.
And here's the same thing. There's a price to stand with Sam and Lorraine. That's not with us. The truth for your day, there has always been a price to pay. That's why the things that we say, they're so solid. They're so real. Like when I tell you about, I never heard anybody address it about that curse. If you believe, you could go back and you can read what Jesus said. If you believe on me, as the scripture says, you have eternal life.
That's right.
Where is that? I think it's in John 3. He that believes on me has eternal life, and that does not believe shall not receive life, because the wrath of God abides in him. Just read it, because all day yesterday I thought about that. You got to go back to the scripture, because the scripture is the only thing that'll put Satan out of commission. No.
It says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son had everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
That's exactly what we're saying. If you believe, back then it was Jesus Christ, you had to believe in him. And if you were identified with him, like I say, you were looked down as trash. You were put out of the synagogue. You're just not with it. And there was a price to pay.
And people think, oh, that's such a harsh language, damned. But it says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Yeah, it's there all along. Mm-hmm. And then all we're doing now, the Lord moved on us to address the negative side of it, just like Moses did. He went and told them the blessings. Oh, man, you should read that blessing. It's, oh, how glorious they would have had it if they would have stuck with these mm-hmm. blessings and done what's right. But then he went on and told him the other side, the curses that'll come if you don't do that. And here, that's all we're doing. We're bringing out the positive. If you believe you and your whole household will be saved, God has a way of manipulating it, of letting it happen, because he told Rahab, you bring your whole household in here because you're identified with these two spies. And you brought them in your house, you took care of them. Now bring your whole family in, we look after them. And here's the same thing. If you as much as believe what we're saying here and are identified with what you're saying, you're going to have eternal life. Not only you, your whole family structure, because God works on a family structure, and somehow he'll make it happen. All you got to do is believe it and be identified, not be afraid. Well, I believe what Sam's saying is right, because it's scriptural, not because we're saying it, because you take to the scripture. You know, that's exactly right, just like you did. When you heard about a prophet and baptism in Jesus' name, you got the book, The Church Ages, you took the Bible. Oh, man, it's exactly right. Oh, wow, I've been looking for this all my life, and here it is. That's that man, that's that Malachi 4 prophet that the Lord gave you by reading the scripture. Mm-hmm. You saw it in the Bible, and here, 5 years later, you come face to face with a book, with mm-hmm. the Church Age book. And you were introduced to the minister of Brother Glenn. You didn't keep it quiet. In fact, mm-hmm. I think what you're saying, you went and told your parents right away. And they mm-hmm. probably thought you're crazy. But see, there is a price to pay. Right now, if you are identified with this truth for your day, then you will be persecuted. Because it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days of the apostle, back in the day of all the of Irenaeus and all these people, back in the days of Martin Luther, you were looked on, kind of like you're not with it, you know.
You go on down,
and you're identified with Brother Brennan back in his hour. You were shunned. You were kind of looked on as different, like that Brother Brennan's mother-in-law. When Brother Brennan went down to these holy rooms,
mm-hmm.
and she wouldn't let her daughter go down there. You going down to that trash, that's just trash that the church has threw out. See, that's how people looked at the message for their day mm-hmm. back at then. And then there's a price to pay that, to the point where he did go down there. You can read his life story, and it cost him his wife, and he lost his little girl over it, simply because he did not want to be identified. Fight with that message for his day.
Yeah, that's that's why we always say there's consequences.
Yeah.
And you know, the consequence of him being disobedient to God,
listening
to his mother-in-law, cost him his wife and his daughter. And you know, people think that God is just a God of love. But you know what? There are consequences to actions, and people don't realize that. That, you know, the actions, and it passes down from generation to generation. And somewhere along the line, somebody has to do something to break that cycle.
Okay, yeah, when you, like, we're trying to yank people back into the day, into reality. What is going on around you today? All you simply have to do is believe what we're saying here, and then you let people know you're identified with this here truth, with this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because right now, what's out there, they're debating whether it's a pre-trib or a post-trib. Whether the rapture will happen after the tribulation or before. And if you're identified with the truth, you're going to get persecuted to some degree, simply because you believe there's a tribulation, there's a rapture coming before the tribulation. Up the road here.
Yeah, it's impossible to be after the tribulation, because there's only the children that have not followed the church of the living God that are going to into the tribulation. Yeah. The bride does not go into the tribulation. He's
taken out just before the tribulation sets in.
And why would God put his overcoming church into a tribulation? There's no need for that. The tribulation and judgment is for people that have not sought God mm-hmm. and fallen in line with what he has for the day and hour.
And we're trying to say here today, Just don't be afraid. Just don't allow yourself to be intimidated. To have identified with the truth for your day, because we're the only two people that'll tell you about that midnight cry, because we didn't get it by sight. We got it right direct from heaven about that midnight cry. That if you don't have a revelation of the midnight cry, then you don't have a picture of the end time. We have the revelation of 1963 and 2021. And then there's 7 years left. We got it right down just exactly the way the Bible painted it. And what we're saying here now is you have to be identified with the truth for your day so that you can have the blessings. And if you don't believe it, like we were saying yesterday about that Am is here in North Creek Holiday there, and he rejected it, then now what's he got? Nothing. His life has no future because he rejected the very thing that would have carried him in to a revelation. Not only him, his whole family. And then when we talk like that, we got everything that we know, we got it out of the scripts. We're just bringing it out and trying to live in reality, because we're living in an environment and a religious system out here where they try to cover up these things. Mm-hmm. They never tell you about that. That there's a curse on people that reject the truth and the truth for your day. Not because you rejected that church thing out there. That church thing is of the devil. You're not going to get persecuted for that. But you're going to get persecuted for believing the message for your day, just as it was when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They did not know the day of their visitation. Mm-hmm. They did not know that truth that stood before them.
And people don't realize that the outcome of that was the destruction of Jerusalem, and it happened in 69-70 AD, and people don't want to associate that with the rejection. But Jesus truly said there's not going to be one stone left upon the other. Why? Because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. Mm-hmm. And the same way when the rabbis in the 1900s went out in the European area and told the Jewish people that had been scattered there, they were living there in the Europe because Jerusalem was all taken, was overrun by all other countries already, and so many other kingdoms came in, the Ottomans, and it's a long list of people that have taken over Jerusalem in that area. And it was in a swamp because nobody really took care of it, because the only people that really take care of Israel is the Jewish people themselves. So anyway, they were in Europe scattered, and when those rabbis came, they did not take heed what the Spirit was saying. The Spirit was saying, it's time to go back home, to call them home, because if you don't go home, there's something coming up the road where you're going to be butchered.
And so much there was even a feast about the trumpets, you know.
Uh-huh. And that's all part of the curses and the blessings. Those are the consequences of not taking heed when the Spirit is telling people the hour and the time they're living in, and in it is there's a message. A message to save your household.
Mm-hmm.
And if those were sensitive, they went back to Israel and they were not killed in the Holocaust. They did not get killed. And the same way with the Christians in the early church, those that believed Jesus, he said, he told them, he laid them all out in Matthew 24. If Jerusalem is surrounded by the army, get out.
Yeah.
And they were warned that when the army came, they knew this was now the season where this is going to be the destruction. And the Christians, they went out from Jerusalem, just like Jesus had warned them. Because, see, that's how it works. When you follow the message for your day, in the message there is a protection for you and your family, and God will provide a way. If you don't, you're going to be caught in something like the destruction of Jerusalem, something like the Holocaust. And that's just how it works. There comes a period of time where judgment is poured out. And if you are caught in that environment, you're going to be faced with that.
But in that is the reproach of Christ. It's all.
That's
when
right.
It all comes into the day, it's a they're ashamed of Christ. They're ashamed of the reproach of Christ. Because in the message for your day, there is that reproach of Christ. Imagine out there, like we know a lot of people and a lot of people they know of us, but they don't want to be identified because in it there's a reproach. Oh, you mean you got something to, you talk to that guy? And then they get a punishment for coming and visiting with us because they're looked on as one of us, you know. But see, you got to overcome that reproach of Christ. You got to, what it is, it's, I just had it here, the message for your day, it's actually too simple. That all, you mean all I have to do is believe and these two people, they're saying, yeah, that's as simple as it gets. And God will look after the rest. But like I say, within it is persecution. Within it is you're going to be looked down as kind of losing it like crazy. And you might even get punished for it. These are just, I'm just trying to say, the way reality is, the way you need to look at it. You got to look back, go back into Scripture, how it was back in the days of Jesus. And to be identified with Jesus. There was a price to pay. Here is a price to pay too, because we see these people that came through here. Like I drove with that kind of, I think, 2-3 years. And he was good, man. He just took that. We got baptized. And the Lord came down from heaven. We were in at the air show. And the Lord spoke to him personally, almost like a bolt of lightning. And he was over there visiting with his cousins from Windy Bay, and I was over there by myself, standing there, kind of overweight, and the Lord spoke to him, we'll stand with Sam, there's the bride, go stand with him, and it was such a bolt of lightning, that he just dropped his cousins, and came over and told me, you know, the Lord just told me to come and stand with you, you're the bride of Christ. And I didn't tell him that. The Lord from heaven spoke down with him. And there for a year or more, he was very good. We hung out, went to church together, and we went to convention together. He got baptized in Jesus' name. And there for about a year, he was very good. One day he comes along, you know, I'm going to go over to Darius, and I'm seeing how much garbage I can find about you. And, you know, negative things about it. I said, I don't know what I said. I just taught them how to go for it. Go have yourself a smoker's board. Go, because you're going to find a lot of it. But see, he disregarded what the Lord spoke to him and went out. Then he burned negative. He started looking for negative things about you. And like I say, if you want to go down that road, you're going to find a lot of negative things about me. But see, what happened, the Lord showed him. I didn't tell him that. And what does he do? He turns around and completely makes a 180 and starts working against us. And completely everything that he could have had, he just threw it down just flushed it down the commode. Everything, that heavenly thing. Now he's out there crying the blue because he missed it, you know. And then same thing with that Jeremy. He was convinced. He felt what was going on here when that devil was cast out of him. What does he do? He does exactly the opposite to what he should be doing. All he had to do was go and tell people that the wonderful thing that the Lord did for him. And yet, you know, they can't do that because, and it is a reproach of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's really at the bottom line, the end of the day, it's all about, I don't want to be identified with the reproach of Christ. Mm-hmm. Just because it happens to be you and me, it just happened to be somebody that the Lord owned out from before the foundation of the world. And we're tough, you know. It does bother us to be reproached, to be made fun of, to be mocked and ridiculed, because it's in our makeup. We can take the pressure. A lot of people can take the pressure. But see, back in the days of Noah could take the pressure. He was mocked every time he went to the store to buy some nails and things for his building his boat. They mocked him, and they seen him coming. And they thought it was a cool thing, you know. The order of the day is to mock them. And the same thing when they see you and I. Their head, their mind, their whole heart goes right into the gutter, and they think it's a Shekinah program. And they can't drag themselves out of that. And instead of looking at, you know,
maybe they're onto something. Maybe I should check out. But see, the devil keeps them ignorant. Then they don't even as much as look at it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's automatically rises up in their makeup. When I was talking to all these preachers there at that meeting, they, you couldn't even reason with them. I said, well, let's think, at least let's look at it. When you buy it, build a kitchen, you go all over. The best of the best ain't good enough. And here I said, something that pertains to eternal life, you don't even look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's going to be up to them, you know, what they do with it. But we're just putting mm-hmm. it out there. And like I'm saying, these things, these curses, they come on these people. There's just, not only on them, it comes on their children, on their whole family structure, and it does exactly what the Bible says. 3 and 4 generations for those that hate me. They don't really hate us. They hate Jesus.
That's
they
pride.
Hate truth.
Uh-huh.
That's why. They don't say it.
Uh-huh. Because if you bear the name of Jesus, that's what's going to happen. Just like what happened when Stephen was stoned. What they did, they instigated people to stand up and find things that... that was, like it says, I'll read it here. That's what the devil does. And that's why people don't want to be identified. But you know what? People don't realize the blessings that they miss out on. So it says in Acts 6:11, then they secretly instigated some men to say, we have heard this man speaking blasphemous word against Moses and God. They incited the people, the elders and the experts in the law. Then they approached Stephen, seizing him and brought him before the council.
Mm-hmm.
See, to be identified back with Jesus back in the days was a price to pay. Just
yeah.
like here, Stephen was not afraid to be identified with Jesus, and he was stoned for it.
And now, he spoke up.
That's right. He was not intimidated, but because the mob was after him. And here is the same thing. When you stand for Jesus and bear the name of Jesus, there is going to be a price to pay.
For all the people I've known over the years, not one of them is willing
mm-hmm.
to step up to the plate and tell anybody, their family or their friends or even anybody, you know, Sam is right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to stand with him. I don't care what you guys do to me. That's what I did. When I saw that big guy down there, they weren't really the renegade. The renegades was my father-in-law and that JK. They were the renegades. Huh. I didn't want to be identified with these, with my father-in-law and them. I'd rather be identified with these renegades
mm-hmm.
because they're really not the real renegades. So I was identified with them. And there for about a year, I communicated. I worked with them down there. I went down to the Supreme Court with them. I was identified with them. And I was not ashamed because
mm-hmm.
I knew at the end of the day, I'm on the winning side.
That's right. It's the truth that prevails.
That's all what we're trying to say here today. You have to be identified. And you have to be at a place where you're not ashamed
mm-hmm.
to be identified with them. And you'll do exactly what it says in the book of Revelation. Whosoever hear it, let them say, come.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's a responsibility now laid on your shoulders. Once you hear what we're saying, you know it's the truth. You have to go and tell. Otherwise, what's going to happen if you don't? It's going to be taken away from you, and you might as well have never known. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens.
That's how it works. He that heareth, let him say, come. Whoever is athirst, let him come. And drink out of the waters of life freely.
Mm-hmm.
Once this era is over and you miss the opportunity to be part of that marriage supper of the Lamb, you'll be sitting there and weeping and gnashing of teeth and, oh man, I wish I would have surrendered when the time was. I wish I would have spoke up when the time was to speak up. Now it's all gone. I missed it. I got to go through this tribulation hour. I got to get my head chopped off
mm-hmm.
for the truth.
See, that's what's coming
up. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's why this is a preparation time for that time. When that time comes, just like back in the destruction of Jerusalem, there was a warning. Jesus had a warning for people when that hour will come to get out of Jerusalem. And that was, they believed Jesus and they were saved. And that's the same way here, you know. This is just a preparation time for what is coming up the road.
Yeah, and you could read Matthew 22. Go back and read it. What happens to those people that rejected the truth for their day, that did not take the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's all in the Bible. What we're saying here, we just got it out of the scripture. The Lord just happened to use you and I to put it out there. He gave us the whole counsel of God. We can go back in history and we can tell you everything that actually happened and transpired over the years, over these church ages, over the seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand, and what all that grace age is about. All you got to do is believe those seven stars and you will not be deceived. Right to this very day, the ministry of Brother Branham, he was the voice of that seventh star, of that seventh angel, the church age angel of Laodicea. They were just vocal cords. And we're here. That's all we're doing. We're just contending on with the vocal cords of that angel of Revelation, Revelation 10, the days of the voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's still sounding. He's still down here. He's going to be here until the rapture comes, and then the Holy Spirit and everything is gone, and this planet is given over to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You can miss all that. You can bypass that, because when that time comes, you're going to be one of those in that group. Blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. If you're a believer, a Christian, that and you miss this, then there's only one thing left, the Gullaton. Why would you not just simply go out there and tell people, and you know they're right? I don't care what they do to me. I know they're right. That's what I did. And I was blessed ever since. And after that, the Lord took me to the ministry of Brother Branham, and oh man, it's been a blessed journey. I wouldn't have missed it for nothing. But see, I had to take a stand. I had to stand up and be identified with these losers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But society had them down pegged as the renegades.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really not the renegades. And but I stuck with it, you know, until that such a time came. They went back to the compound, and I had to stand alone. I said, I'm not going back to the compound. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what was beyond that, so I had to start from scratch. And but I trusted the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord will make a way, and he did. And then this guy came to me, saying the Lord told me to buy you a car. And another guy came along, saying the Lord told me to give you my Visa card. And things like that happened in my life. And just blessing upon blessing, simply because I was not ashamed to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the reproach for your day. See, it was back then, and the other I call him at that split, it was a reproach to be identified with that Danny, that big guy. Not, and so much that you got put out of the synagogue if you were identified with them. That's exactly what happened to me. And I didn't care. I knew as long as I'm on the side of truth, I didn't care. I didn't believe it, that garbage that my father-in-law and them guys were trying to tell us. I didn't believe it. I thought that I found out that J.K. is a crook. And I don't want to be identified with a crook. So that's why we're saying the things we're saying. There is a curse. There's also a blessing. Blessing comes first, and then comes that curse, like I was telling you. Yes, about all those people, when I analyze it, and I take it through the microscope of the Bible, and I look at it, these people that rejected this here truth, what I was trying to tell them, that guy, that preacher over in Bloomfield, he rejected. The Lord was dealing with him. Go stand with the truth for your day. He rejected. He sold out the materialism. Now he's got that whole Bloomfield colony under his wing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's the big man there. But that's all he has. He's got nothing for eternity. Neither does his the people that are under his watch. Neither do they have anything. And like I said, I can't even get near them. Every time they see me, they mock me. That's just the way it is, you know. And I don't mind, you know. It's an honor to be mocked at for the sake of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you and lie about you, for great is your reward in heaven. That's all we're living for. We're not living for this world. This world doesn't have nothing. The only thing that has any value is what he can allow Jesus to do through us.
Mm-hmm.
So that someday we'll have a reward, or even if we don't get a reward, at least we had a good time here serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing I would rather do. I'm glad to get up in the morning and sing some songs and pray and do what the birds do. You know, when they get up in the morning and start singing. That's what everybody should do. Everybody did what we did. What a glorious, it'd be heaven on earth, eh? I thought about that today. If everybody did that, just let's say here in town, that crime would go down so quick. If everybody here in town would get up at 5 o'clock and pray in the day and sing some songs and start talking about the things of the Lord for 2 hours, just like you and I are doing, what a glorious town this would be.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's just my way of thinking. That's what it's going to be like in the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody will bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he'd be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is that now, but we have to be identified with him. We have to bear the reproach to be identified with him. That's basically all we're saying. Be identified with these two guys that bring us the truth, that introduce us to that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's the hour we're living in. We're not living back in the days of Jesus. We're living in and today, where that invitation has gone out, universal setting, but just like back then, the invitation went out that the Messiah is around. He's here. Come, let's see. Is this not him? The woman at the well. Come out and see. Is this not him? Everybody was charged up. Is this not him? We found him, where the scriptures say about him. And here's the same thing. We're identified with that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because it's right here. We're living in that season of time, in that time frame where that invitation is going out. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for another opportunity, Lord, to come together and sit with you in heavenly places, for that you saw us worthy, Lord, to suffer for your sake and to do the things we're doing. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to do it as easy fit. Lead and guide us by that of your Spirit. Give us obedient hearts, Lord, and be able to continue on this journey, Lord. We pray, Lord, you give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.